Hey everybody, Saul Marquez, and welcome back to the Vive podcast series. Today, I am so privileged to be with the outstanding Melissa Sherry. She is the VP of Social Care Integration at UniteUS and designs payments technology to increase funding for community programs. She holds an MPH and PhD from the Department of Health Policy and Management at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. The work that she does is extraordinary in the social determinants of health, bridging gaps in access, and I'm so privileged to have her here with us today. Melissa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so many things going on in healthcare, so many problems with access. Talk to us a little bit about what UniteUS does. Just kind of center us on the mission.
Sure, yeah. UniteUS is a technology company that really connects healthcare and social care by building coordinated care networks. So thinking about all the organizations in a community that provide housing, transportation, food, employment services. It's interesting because in healthcare, we connect all those things electronically. We've been doing that for a long time, but we never really thought about how do we connect those pieces in healthcare, in social care. And that's what UniteUS was really designed to do. So we were founded by two veterans who recognized how fragmented the space was, especially leaving the military. We've expanded way beyond the military at this point, and we are all across the United States, building connected networks of community-based organizations with the goal of allowing our customers and, you know, healthcare payers, governments, health systems, the criminal justice system, education systems, to tap into a network of coordinated care organizations so they can make sure that that longitudinal social care journey for an individual is achieved and know that the people that they care about really got their basic needs met.
Yeah, you know, it's a theme that keeps recurring at this meeting. It's this theme of people. You know, yeah, sure, you're connecting devices, you're connecting technology, connect people. I've got a question for you. What's the best place that health plans, health providers, companies can invest for the future?
Yeah, great question. So I think one of the really interesting things about healthcare and the way things are moving is that if you go back decades, originally before modern medicine and hospitals and sort of all the beautiful, amazing clinical care we have today, there was just public health. And what is public health back in the day before medicine, before technology? It was like, is the water clean and safe? Are food sources available? So many of basic human needs really were what health was. As we got sort of further along in the world of technology and modern medicine, I think we really got away from public health and thinking about how like Maslow's hierarchy of needs work, where you need to have housing, you need to have food, you need to have safety, these basic needs met to be able to focus on health. So what we've seen over the past, I would say, a couple decades is really a change in the US healthcare landscape where this recognition that social care is fundamental to healthcare is really shifting the landscape. So we're seeing that originally it was like, we should screen for social needs. Our members might have social needs that are impacting their ability to stay healthy. That was really great. But then becomes, well, what happens when you identify a need, right? You have to have something to do about it. So then we saw sort of the rise of referral platforms and this idea that we could be screening for social needs and we should be sending people to an organization that can then meet that need. I think from there, you know, where UniteUS has really thrived is closing the loop on that to know, well, I know I sent this person to a housing agency, but what happened? Did they get housing, right? Did they get that need met? And then all the way up to where we are today, which is, well, how do we think about putting enough money into the community that we can actually make sure that when I send somebody out to an organization, that service is going to be there? So back to your question, I think the critical thing for health systems, for payers to be recognizing is the role that social determinants play in the outcomes they care about, whether that's quality measures, whether that's total cost of care, whether that's adherence to medication, whatever those types of outcomes are. If you have a high needs population or a population with a lot of social needs, you're really not going to achieve your goals without thinking about getting those basic needs met. So if you're looking at where to put your investments, it's starting with connecting to those organizations, basically collecting data and understanding where the capacity gaps in your community, where are your members being sent that organization's like, I don't have enough funding to serve these people. Give me some money with that referral, right?
Yeah.
And then it's thinking about more targeted funding that way.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a great point and it's a sweet spot for you guys, right? And I think if we could focus more resources in bridging those gaps, I think access will be better and overall outcomes will be better.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, part of the problem to date has been this misconception that there's not enough data. We don't really know what's the power of social care. And in fact, there's a ton of evidence that investing in social care makes huge differences to healthcare outcomes. But I think oftentimes you really need that great database, that closed loop standardized data to be able to tie back to the outcomes you care about to prove the model. Everyone wants to prove it themselves, right? They don't want to just trust that, well, the research says this, but what about in my population? My population might be different, right? So I think it's also about getting that standardized data capture and that, you know, closed loop solution so you can actually take that data and tie it back to what you care about and prove yourself that it works.
Yeah, totally. And so care in the home is a big thing now. This is what you guys do. Like, you know, like this is, you guys are ingrained. As people are looking to expand care into the home, what are some of those social, and with you, I'd like to kind of dig deeper, right? Because this is what you guys do. What are some social determinants of health that typically arise as potential barriers and challenges?
Yeah, there's a number of them. But to your point about care in the home, I think we think of ourselves as care in the community. But that's so impactful, right? Like if you think about hospital in home or sort of a lot of the movement we saw because of COVID, where healthcare, like you're saying, really moved into the home. What if someone doesn't have a home, right? You can't actually deliver care to them in a home if they don't have one. So that's a big one. Yeah. And I think we've seen all across the United States, the homeless crisis is massive and the housing shortage.
It's getting worse.
And that's so significant. And, you know, adjacent to that are really, well, of course, if you're homeless, you're not likely to have food either, right? So then food comes along. And how do you get out of homelessness? You probably need a job. So employment training and opportunities to actually get careers or some sort of income. There's so many different pieces that touch homelessness. But aside from homelessness, I think, you know, what we'll see when you think about care in the home is even things like, is it a safe home? Are there cockroaches? Are there rats? Cockroaches and home issues can cause asthma attacks. They can cause breathing problems that lead people to ED visits, especially in kids, right? Yeah. So you think about care in the home, but again, is it a safe home? Does it have electricity? Can they afford their bill? Like imagine you're going to a home and you're like, make sure you're taking your medication with food. And by the way, eat fruits and vegetables. They're like, well, my refrigerator doesn't work or I don't have power. Like I can't store those, right? I can't even store insulin if it needs to be refrigerated without power. So I think we take for granted when we say, well, home care, just go to someone's home. You forget that people might have homes without electricity, without cleanliness and safety standards. And we often just forget about those things. So even things as simple as building a ramp in the home can make a home much safer, more accessible place to get healthy.
Yeah. And you bring up some great points and closing the loop, identifying those issues and just closing the loop with them and the data approach. How do you get the data? You know, like, I mean, I'm thinking about you send somebody to a center to get a particular service. How do you know?
Yeah, great question. So the way Unite Us works is we build out basically technology that allows community-based organizations to access our platform from the internet. So they're able to log on and basically receive referrals through our system. What we've done at Unite Us is really structure the data so that if you're a care manager, a community health worker, anyone sending a referral, you're actually choosing what type of service you want to look in like a map for. So you can look around your community and say, I'm interested in housing. And in fact, I'm interested in, you know, emergency shelters. And you can actually see on that map categorized all of the organizations in your community that provide that type of service. So you're able to actually fill out a referral form with relevant information about the individual you want to serve, and you can send it to a targeted community-based organization who can actually then receive that referral on their end. Once they're receiving that referral, they're just documenting essentially that, yep, I provided this care on this day, or I provided this service, I'm closing it out as successful.
Okay. Nice.
Or alternatively, they could close themselves to referrals and say, I don't have the capacity to be able to help this person right now, which would mean that referrer would not send it there.
Got it.
So it's one of the things that makes, I think, Unite Us really successful is we built this to be for community-based organizations and for healthcare and the criminal justice system and government. You have to have both sides of the equation because they have different needs. For example, a community-based organization, we want to document as minimally as possible. We don't want to interrupt their workflows. We don't want them doing things like clinical coding, right? That's not what they're there to do.
Right.
So we have a form in our system that makes it really simple for them to document minimal information, but provide maximum value back to the sender to say, Mrs. Jones on this date went to this community-based organization and successfully got the housing service, for example.
Yeah.
So that's how we standardize and collect that data, is through having both ends of that equation actually documenting. And then sort of connecting those dots to say, did this referral result in success?
Makes a lot of sense. Wow. So another topic that keeps coming up is AI and machine learning. What role do those technologies play in the work that you guys do?
Yeah, good question. I think the really interesting thing about the field we're in is it's considering where healthcare is, it's so behind because it was like I mentioned before, it was like this recognition again recently how much social needs work. Compared to clinical data, there's not the same standardization of social care data. And what that means is it makes it really hard when you're gathering a lot of data to be able to do machine learning and AI processes until you have a substantial data set. So that's really what Unitas is building. We're collecting that standardized data. We're bringing in various data sources. So, you know, I think there's a huge role for it in the future, but right now what that looks like is more a lot of what we're doing around predicting who might have a social need, who's most likely to maybe be housing insecure, or who's likely to have like sort of a social risk score that indicates they might become a high utilizer in the healthcare system. So how we're thinking about that today is really trying to get ahead of people's social needs before they present with that problem and try to be more proactive in identifying people whose needs might prevent them from really having optimum healthcare outcomes or other types of outcomes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, you mentioned standardization. Are there any efforts to standardize? And are you guys, it sounds like maybe you guys are in a position to influence or lead?
Yeah, great question. So there's something called the Gravity Project, whose work is actually trying to standardize the coding language around social care. So in the world of medical care, we have ICD codes that are diagnosis codes, and we have CPT codes, which are procedure codes. That language is just starting to develop for social care. So there's something called Z codes, which are basically an ICD code, but for social care. So those have been around for a while. They haven't been documented well yet. So we're working on solutions. How do we start thinking about the standardization of social care from our own lens, but also watching to see what the Gravity Project's doing so that we can be aligning and, you know, really keeping up with that standardization. But within our platform, you know, there's other taxonomies we can follow as well. Like 211s have taxonomies, for example, about, I mentioned earlier, different types of needs. So like housing, food, and then subtypes within that are a little bit more detail. So that's how we standardize our own data. But again, we're closely watching these sort of national movements towards standardizing data so we can make sure we're doing the same and aligning.
That's great. It sounds like there's a lot of developments underway for that data standardization, and in the future, potentially, you know, we could start looking at these technologies to make it better. But there's so much we could do and so much that you guys are doing to be able to without it. So, you know, one of the opportunities that we have is really for people to do something, not just to listen to the podcast today. So what call to action would you give to the listeners?
Yeah, I think what's really cool about where we are in this space at Unitas is we are there to be thought partners with our customers, with community-based organizations. And often, you know, customers will come to us and say, well, I know social care is important, but what do I do about it, right? The call to action, I think, is really check our website out at unitas.com, but come talk to us and present your problems to us. We're really good at problem solving. And I think so many times it's just showing examples of what others have done. So thinking about, you know, you have money you're interested in doing better in terms of social needs. Okay, maybe it's just as simple as us getting you on our core platform where you can send referrals out to organizations. Or maybe you have funding available in your community and you're coming to us and saying, where are the capacity gaps in my community? That kind of visibility organizations may not have. And we can provide that and say, it looks like so many referrals are going out for food and none of them are being successfully resolved because there's not enough capacity in your community. Let's think about funding those types of organizations. So, you know, I think it's just recognizing how critical social needs are to the outcomes that we all care about and the outcomes we're all trying to achieve, and not being afraid to go have those conversations and think about how you could do better in that space. And, you know, I think Unitas, like I said, is here to be a thought partner and really try to bridge that technology gap as well as those, you know, communication gaps between community-based organizations, community partners, and healthcare.
Wow. And so is it providers, FQHCs, like who can
great question
connect? Yeah,
so what's really exciting about Unitas, and one thing that really drew me to the work at Unitas, is that our customers are healthcare payers, they are the government, they are health systems, hospitals, I mean, you name it. It's we have quite the variety, but we also have school systems, we have criminal justice system, we have so many different types of users, because ultimately social needs affect everybody and they affect outcomes across all different sectors. Like if you think about the root cause, you know, you look at the criminal justice system, you look at education truancy or inability to succeed in school, you look at healthcare outcomes, they all kind of come down to some of the similar root causes. And we know that those are social needs. So it's really cool to be in a space where we know the work that we're doing is having impact across sectors.
Wow. Well, folks, an amazing opportunity to take care to the next level with Melissa and Unite Us. So Melissa, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us here. It's been a really stimulating discussion.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.